All right, here we go. That machine's not on, is it, Jeff? You don't have that machine on, do you? Huh? Okay, it's turned off. Yeah. We're on number seven. Number seven. We need faith to receive the promises of God. Because God's promises don't just fall to you. It's just like ripe cherries off a tree. You have to seize, take hold of. The writer to Hebrews said, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And Paul said it even stronger in 1 Timothy. He said, take hold of the eternal life to which you've been called. Take hold of God's promises. Now, this phrase, English phrase, take hold, comes from one Greek word. It's epilambano. Epilambano. That's at least the Tennessee pronunciation of the Greek word. Epilambano. And this is a very intense Greek word. It means to seize, to lay hold of aggressively, to take possession as if your life depended upon it. Epilambano. So it's an aggressive faith, not a passive faith. Well, if God wants me to have it, then I guess I will. You'll never get it. Aggressive faith makes God happy. Yes, Joseph. Microphone.
It's really cool how he says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called.
Yeah.
So you're called to it, and it's God who calls you and saves you. But he's telling you to grab it, you know, like a drowning person grabbing a life preserver.
Exactly. In September of 1987, Henry Dempsey was flying a commuter flight from Maine on the northeast corner of the United States to Boston. And he'd been hearing this noise in the back of the plane. You know, it's a commuter flight, it's a small plane. And he left the controls in charge of the co-pilot, and he went to the back to see what the problem was. And what had happened is the door in the back of the plane, the flight attendant had latched it, but improperly, and it wasn't completely closed, and that was causing the rattling. And so as he approached it, they hit some unexpected turbulence. He lost his balance. It threw him against the door. The door popped open, and he fell out. Now, the co-pilot, immediately, he sees the door open light, and he realized something's happened. And so he signals for an emergency landing. And he also notifies the Coast Guard, because they're over the ocean, with the coordinates, the pilot's fallen out of the plane to get a rescue operation. But when they landed, about 15 or 20 minutes later, they realized that the rescue operation wouldn't be necessary, because what had happened, as the door had opened, Dempsey had had the presence of mind to grab hold of the ladder. And so he was holding on to that ladder. And when the plane landed, his face was 12 inches from the tarmac. The emergency crew was there, and they were called to assist him. It took them 15 minutes to pry his hand off of that ladder. He had gripped it so tight, his hands had locked in, and he couldn't open them. That's epilambano. That's what the Greek word means right there. You hold on so tight, it takes the emergency crew, they gotta pry your fingers off of God's promises. That's aggressive faith that takes hold of God's promises for us. Number eight, our final one, and then we'll do a little group interaction. We need faith to resist the devil. Faith to resist the devil. We have a real enemy, and he's playing for keeps. Peter said, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. How? By standing firm in the faith. Smith Wigglesworth told a story. He was at a bus stop waiting for the bus to come. And an elderly lady came out of the house, oh, a few houses down from the bus stop. You could see all the action. And as she did, her little puppy dog followed her out of the house and was going to follow her to the bus stop. So she got a little ways and realized what was happening. And she bent down and began to talk to her little doggie and talked to him very sweetly. Now go on home. Mama's got to go. We'll be back later. And would finally convince the dog, and the dog would start walking back towards the house, that she would turn around and continue her walk to the bus stop. And as soon as she turned around, the dog would too and start following her again. And she'd stop, and again, very sweet. Now, honey, come on, go on home. I'll be home soon. And this happened about three or four times. And Smith Wigglesworth and a few other people are there. They're just watching this. And finally, on the fourth time, she stomped her foot at the top of her lungs. She yelled, "Scat!" And that dog tucked his tail between his legs and scurried as fast as he could back in the door into the house. And Smith Wigglesworth, without even thinking about it, at the top of his voice, he yelled out, "That's how you got to talk to the devil." And you do, but you do it by faith. It's not, "Please, Mr. Devil, you're really bothering me. Could you just now go for a while?" No, "Scat, get, be gone in Jesus' name." Martin Luther again, he said, "By faith in Christ, a person may gain such sure and sound comfort that he need not fear the devil. Sir devil," he may say, "I am not afraid of you. I have a friend whose name is Jesus Christ, in whom I believe. He has condemned sin, vanquished death, and destroyed hell for me. He's bigger than you, Satan. He has licked you and hold you down. You cannot hurt me." This is the faith that overcomes the devil. As you understand, as you progress in God, with every new level, there's a new devil. Every new step you take, new responsibility, new level of challenge, there's a new devil waiting for you there. And there's special squadrons in hell that are assigned to people who decide, "I'm going to live by faith." People who say, "I'm tired of being pushed around. I'm tired of unbelief in my life. I'm driving the stake down. I'm going to live by faith." Get ready. These are the crack troops, okay? We call them special forces. They get assigned to your case immediately. Get on that person. Stop them. And if you're not ready for plan B, for the new level, you're going to get eaten alive. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked in your faith." Fight the good fight. Now, the Greek word for fight is agon, A-G-O-N. And of course, we get obvious English words, agony, agonize, from that. The word agon originally was the place, the location, where the wrestling matches took place in the games. But then, by association, agon meant the actual act of wrestling. And the Romans adopted the Greeks' games, and as the Roman Empire progressively got more corrupt, their games, their wrestling matches became more brutal. And so it got to the point they had a type of wrestling match where they would put two people in the ring, and most likely these were slaves or people they've captured from attacking another city or nation. And they would put them in the ring together, and they would lock them together, chain them together, tie them together. And the only rules involved in the wrestling match is the first one to die loses. First one to die. The match is not over as long as someone is still alive. Now, that's the picture of the wrestling match you've been thrown in. And it's not over just because you get a little victory. This is a fight to the death. You keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. You say, does it ever get to the point where you don't have to fight anymore? Yes, when you die. In the meantime, you got to fight the good fight of faith. And we fight, we resist, it's by faith. If you try to do it by just real strong determination, you'll get beat very quickly. It's by faith. Let's take a few minutes in some small groups here, and I want you to... We got a few different discussion questions here. And the one I'd like to focus on, if you could, take question number 2. Faith takes an aggressive attitude towards God's promise. Yeah, Francis, you can just go with those two guys. And you can be group. Yeah, just group at your table, okay? And I want you to work on that number 2. Faith takes an aggressive attitude towards God's promises. How do you rank on the passive-aggressive scale? Are you as aggressive in laying hold of God's promises as you should be? Why? What can you do to increase your aggressiveness? So take 5 or 10 minutes. Oh, no, guys together. Girls together. Yeah, guys, you're two. That's good together. That group. Go. Just begin talking together at your table right there. Yeah. How do you match? If you want, sure. Whatever. You can stay there if you want. I just didn't want a group of 5. That's too many. Go. Rate yourself on the aggressiveness scale. All right. Roel, there's a microphone right there. Grab it. Grab that microphone. And talk to the class. So, faith takes an aggressive attitude towards God's promises. How do you rank on the passive-aggressive scale, Roel?
Before...
It's on.
Before, I'm on a passive scale before. Two weeks ago, I was on the passive scale. And then when I proposed to this girl, every morning, I'm claiming the promises of God. So that's the only time I feel the aggression of claiming the promise of God, because it's the reality itself coming.
So you need cash.
Yes.
Well, whatever it takes, huh? To get you aggressive. Yeah, go ahead.
But before my... I'm not sure if it's wrong. I'm kind of passive because I'm leaning towards trusting God that, Lord, I'm just going to live my life today. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. So I think that's where I'm coming from being a passive.
Yeah. But what if his will for you would be to aggressively take hold of his promises? That's how you please him. By aggressively. Not just by sitting back and whatever, Lord, you want to do. Just whatever. I'm just going to sit here on the couch until you tell me. I don't know why he's not telling me anything. Yeah, so, response?
Yeah, but I'm claiming his promises before.
Aggressively.
Yeah, but not that aggressively.
Yeah. As but now of you today. Are. So the secret is everybody needs to get engaged. That's how aggressive Bible faith happens, right? Daniel, they want to hear from you. So faith takes an aggressive attitude towards God's promises. How do you rank on the passive-aggressive scale?
On the contrary, here's where I am right now. If we're going to rank it like 1 to 10, 1 is the passive, and then 10 is the most aggressive.
Yeah.
I think I'm right there on the 5 to 6 scale, because somehow there's a thought in my mind that says, yes, I want to believe God for the parseo ek hyper stuff, you know. But there's also a side in my mind that says, you know, there is also wisdom that you don't want to go too far.
You don't want to get too much power.
Not the power side, but I'm thinking
you don't want too much blessing. Yeah. Let me tell you, blessing is overrated.
Yeah.
Don't get too much of it. Yeah. Don't get too much of it.
Like, of course, now we're planning and all of these things. Of course, we have a list of stuff that we want to have as we go to the wedding day. But, you know, as we, you know, go, you know, as we, how do we call that? As we go near the date of the wedding, somehow there's a side of us, or there's a side of me that thinks, is this where God really wants us to go? That's why there's a question in my mind, like, where do you put a balance? Is there a balance of that? Like, you know, you really believe God for this one, but there's also a side that, you know, you ask God also for wisdom to really know that this is the one that you really should throw your faith into.
Yeah.
So somehow, that's why I cannot just say that, you know, aggressively I'm right now. That's
but
why
anything that you're... Okay, we'll talk about this in the next session.
Right.
Faith begins when the will of God is known. Faith doesn't even start until you know it's God's will. Okay? So that's fine.
Right.
And some specific things like, should I believe for a month-long honeymoon in...
Yeah, in, you know, maybe Paris.
Fiji. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Or a couple days in Cebu, you know? What's,
yeah.
I understand that. But anything related to God's written word...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Mean, let's not frame faith only in the context of I'm single and I'm engaged.
Yeah.
It's a little broader than that.
I agree.
So when it comes to clear God promises,
yeah,
you don't need wisdom.
Yeah.
You just need aggressive faith.
I agree.
And unbelief hides in lots of little corners of our life. Unbelief hides in lots of little subtle corners of our life. So we think, well, maybe that would just be a little bit too more, maybe I'd be prideful if I got that, or belief. That's just unbelief hiding, disguising itself. Somebody's having a hard time out there, aren't they? It's okay, Eros. It's just kids, so It's just kids. Joseph, do you want to make a statement?
Yeah, that's really hitting us.
Go, talk to us, yeah.
Because actually, Dad and I had a similar answer. How we have experienced being aggressive in faith, especially in the past. And listening to Roel and Daniel and remembering our own weddings. You really needed it in those days. And yet now...
I don't need faith as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
And there's a lot of passivity. Yeah. In fact, we both put ourselves around 5.
Yeah.
Sige, Dan, ikaw din mag-explain ng side mo. No? Pero for me, it's a lot of God knows what I want and He knows what I need. And I'm aggressive in other areas.
Yeah.
I'm aggressive at the office. I'm aggressive in ministry. I'm aggressive in believing for great things for the ministry.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of personal things that I have. Whether it's promises of health, of just deliverance from fear and worry from my family members, salvation of family members. I mean, all kinds of stuff. That it's more a que sera, sera attitude. If God wants me to have it, He'll give it to me. And if He doesn't, at least I didn't expect something that He wasn't going to give. And I feel that tension that Daniel has sometimes where I want to be wise, I want to be practical. But then I'm really getting convicted by this whole aggressive faith thing. Because, let's say, even financially, every time I think of finances, I think, well, I got to budget it. But then I think back, but my budgets have never worked in the past. They've never worked for the wedding. They've never worked all my years of MPD. Why am I looking to that to provide for, you know, savings?
Sure.
Trips with my wife, for blessing my family members, for supporting other missions, and all of those things.
Because you're robbing us.
What do you mean?
So you're robbing the potential financial blessing you could be to everybody in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, I've got enough, Lord. I'm doing okay. That's really selfish.
It's not even that okay. But yeah, I mean, I'm letting it, I'm just
no, thinking I understand,
it
yeah.
as it is without the aggressiveness of saying, God, You told me You're going to give this to me. I want it, and I know I have it, and so I'm going to live like it's there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's easy to think, okay, because it's in the Bible, that God said He would do it, that means it's going to happen.
Whether I believe it or not, yeah.
But, or that I do believe, but it's sort of it's a passive believing. It's just not how it happens for the most part. God wants us to be partners with Him. Not passive, just if God wants to give it, I know He wanted to give it because I got it. Because I didn't get it, that means He didn't want to give it. So that's just unbelief disguising itself as humility or trusting the Lord. He wants you to trust Him by aggressively seizing, taking hold of His promises. Fighting the unbelief that comes into your mind. Fighting the pressures of this world that work against the kingdom of God. And we're not just talking about money and health. Sometimes it's helpful. Those are tangible things that we learn the principles of faith. But real aggressive faith is we appropriate God's promises for 10 times more university students than we're winning to Christ. 10 times more power in my preaching. Much greater effectiveness in everything that we do. Those are the real issues of life, you see. And God lets you get aggressive when needs come up financially, so that's supposed to carry over now. So that everything you do in life has that same kind of aggressive laying hold of God's promises. It's mine today. I'm taking it. I'm not just waiting, hoping it'll drop out of the sky. But God wants me as His partner to reach up there in the realm of faith and make it happen. Not by my labor and my sweat, but by an aggressive faith in Him. Make sense? Yeah. Other thoughts? Okay, let's hear. Yeah, Dan.
Yeah,
yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I think when we were discussing this, these two thoughts came to my mind. Like, you just have to be really convinced that this will please God. Whatever you ask, you just have to be very, very convinced that this thing that I'm asking, believing God, aggressively asking.
You can't even ask, or you shouldn't ask until you're sure.
Yeah.
Because if you're not sure, you're in unbelief.
Exactly.
And you know you can't get it now.
Yep. Yep. Now, I was thinking, you know, when we were about to get married, I am convinced that this will honor God. That's why I have to ask everything.
Yeah.
Because I don't have money in my bank account. Yeah. I have to believe and ask God, this will honor you. This will please you.
Yeah.
And I know you will come through. And now, when Joseph and I are talking, like, now I know God is there, God's been faithful, and I kind of stop asking or believing because I know God has always been there for me. I settled for small victories, small blessings, and then and those things are, like what you said, unbelief is just creeping around us, disguising as modest kind of faith, like, you know, so those things.
And that's our human tendency, okay, just equilibrium, right? Just try to keep it so there's not too much pressure. And instead of forcing ourselves ahead, taking hold of more promises. Yeah, I can do that. Grab and hold more responsibility. Believe in God. Put myself in a situation. There's no way I can do everything that I've been asked to do or I've agreed to do. But by faith, I'm going to do it. So just like when you didn't have money, you had to pray every day. Just like you don't have time. Or I don't have the skills to do what I'm called to do here. So aggressively, I got to get hold of God's promises every day. I am adequate as a minister of the new covenant. You have equipped me with everything for good works and for deeds that I need to do. All of your promises are yes and amen. If you don't come through today, I'm dying.
Yeah.
I can't get anything done. I'm going to fall apart. Joseph?
Quick lang, and then we'll let the other table speak.
Yeah,
but even as you're talking about aggression, and sometimes I've excused staying still, being passive for just being still in God. You know, I'm being still in God, so I'm not going to believe for anything. But when you were talking about agon, you know, agonizing and wrestling, and I remember like the UFC. And when they wrestle...
You Filipinos love that, don't you?
When they wrestle... A lot of the time, they look like they're standing still. But that's because there's so much force exerted by the enemy, they have to exert force just to stay in the same place. And the thing is, sometimes what I don't realize is what I'm excusing as staying still in God, I'm being passive. I'm being body slammed by the devil with all kinds of bad reports in the news about how the economy in the States is going down, so my partners are probably going to drop off. You know, all kinds of stuff like that. And I'm not being passive. I'm being passive. I'm not staying still in God. I got to wrestle just to stay in the same place. I got to wrestle just to stay standing on the promises of God. I got to fight back. So that's really hitting me hard now. Thank you.
And, okay, so here's what we got working against us. First of all, we're human beings. And so as human beings, we're passive. We just rather just take it easy and have things just go our way, okay? So that's working against us. Number one, we're human beings. Number two, we're fallen human beings. So it's even worse. Then, Asians in general have a constitutional tendency towards passivity in general. And then, Filipinos. Filipino Asians. So there's a lot of things working against you already. And you have to counter those every day. Every day. I'm in a fight today. And I'm going to aggressively take hold of God's promises. If I don't today, I'm just going to die. I'll just die. I won't make it today without it. So you know what you're going up against. And all those forces are working against you, but you can get in touch with your inner Holy Ghost aggressive Christian. I think it's in there. Like I like to observe, you know, I'm an outsider, right? So I see things different than some Filipinos. And You know, Filipinos in general, my general impression is so sweet. Everybody's nice and sweet. But you know, there's an aggressive streak. It comes out in horn blowing. Okay, now we use the horn in America, but it's most of the time, it's polite. You give a little tap. No, there's angry horns in the Philippines. Angry honking. Like, okay, dude, okay, one little tap. I see you. I know you're coming. See, inside of you, there's an aggression. It's waiting to get out. Don't let it get out in your horn honking. Let it get out in your faith towards God. Aggressively. Let me just get a kind of a look on your face. In Jesus' name, I'm taking hold of God's promises today. They are yes and amen. I will not be denied. What God has said, it's true for me this day. The greater ones living on the inside of me. And everywhere I go, every place the sole of my foot treads, that belongs to me. God's given that. It's my territory. I'm taking this campus. I'm taking this high school. I'm taking hold in Jesus' name. It's mine. I'll not be denied. And you can still be nice on the outside. You see? But there's an aggressive faith. Yeah, Roel and then Maya wanted to talk. So grab the mic from Joseph, because if you don't take it,
we want to
there's one thing he is aggressive about.
We want to accept Jesus Christ today as our Lord and Savior.
Maya? Thoughts, yeah. Yeah, your group, your person.
Well, for
how are you doing on the passive-aggressive scale?
Well, I don't want to read for them.
No, don't. Just talk about you.
Yeah, but we're quite different. And for me, I fail miserably.
Failed miserably. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Anyway,
so that's lower than five.
Yeah. Well, the reasons for that is, first, like, I think I misunderstood about promises of God. Like, it is supposed to be your promise. Why would I work for it? I mean, you gave that promise to me, then you better give it to me. So that wrong thinking.
Yeah, yeah, no, good thought. Good, I understand, yeah.
So I was like, you're the one who promised, so give it to me. Then, but I remembered the Israelites and the story of Joshua, that God gave them the promised land, but they really have to fight hard when they entered it. So it's like, okay, that's me knowing how God works, like, this is you. This is how you think. This is how you work. And then for the three of us, we're the same with the fear to be disappointed. So that's the idea that, okay, if I don't want to be
disappointed. If I don't believe for it, I won't be disappointed if I don't get it.
So it's not that painful if I don't, I'm not going to be aggressive about
it.
And then lastly, it's laziness.
Sure it is.
It's just too tiring to believe
I'd rather just take it
so out. It's like we were really repenting, like, sorry, Lord. It's like, because it will take a strong heart to just be persevering and just fighting for that. It really takes a strong heart. So we're already repenting and believing God for His promises. And I think it's, for me, one of the things that I would, like, handle it. Because there are promises that you just have to, I mean, taking hold of it is simply by just praying for it. Just not stop praying until it happened in your life.
Yeah.
And for me, laziness would, like, I don't want to pray. Let it happen. So, anyway, that's it.
So, it sounds, you convince yourself that theologically, you just have to just wait for God. But in essence, it's an excuse for laziness. Yeah. I mean, that's we're just, all we're doing is we're all confessing our sins. And we're all confessing, this is human nature. Okay, this is what we're all dealing with. But you realize that if you're in a river, and you're going against the current, all you have to do to lose ground is not paddle. You don't even have to paddle in the wrong direction. You just not paddle, and the river will take you the wrong way. Now, we live in a world that is going the wrong way. Everything about the creation is going the wrong direction. And by being passive, the river will take us where we don't want to go. So we are paddling upstream. And that takes aggressive faith. Now, it's not more work. You use the word work there, and I want to make sure we're clear. I think you are. But we're not talking about working harder. We're talking about believing more aggressively. Actually, when you use that analogy of Joshua going to the promised land, that's a good one. It is a promised land, and it's interesting. It's associated with rest. Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4 talks about that promised land is actually rest. And now we have the rest of faith. So the rest of faith is not passivity. The rest of faith is aggressive faith. It's not trusting in ourselves, not even trusting in our aggressive faith. You see? But it's more aggressively holding on to God's promise and doing the things He said, confessing God's word out of your mouth over and over, meditating on that word. Like when you are driving from one place to another, are you just listening to the radio and letting your mind wander? Or do you have Bible verses that you've memorized and you're meditating on those promises? Yes, Lord, that promise is yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yet what you promised me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You have anointed me to preach. You have anointed me to preach. The Word of God is living and active. Thank you, Lord. Your Word coming out of my mouth is living and active. Your Word is a hammer that shatters a rock. Thank you, Lord, as I speak tonight, as I speak this Friday, your Word will be a hammer shattering the rock. Lord, it's a fire that consumes the stubble. Thank you, Lord. It's not by might or by power. It's by your Spirit that's upon me. You see, that's not working, it's believing more. But it's not just showing up and thinking God's going to do something. You see, you have to understand this whole process. God is training us for something. Like, I love what you said, Myas. It's your promise, dude. It's your responsibility to come through. That's a cool way to think. But it would be the right way to think, except through this process, He's training us. You see, Paul talks about the ages to come. Now, we don't know what that means, but we're going to rule and reign with Him. And He's training us for eternity. So we're actually co-heirs with Christ. Now, you understand the concept of a co-heir? A joint heir? Right? Depends on your translation. A joint heir means here's what's been left for you in the will. Unless both of you sign it, nobody gets it. That's what a joint heir is. So Isaiah 53 prophesies about the inheritance of the suffering servant. Paul tells us to pray for spirit of revelation that we might know the inheritance. That's Christ. But we're a joint heir with Him. So Christ's inheritance means that He's got to sign His name, and He already has in blood. But now we got to sign our name. You see? So it takes us also taking hold of those promises so that Jesus gets His inheritance. What's His inheritance? It's souls. It's His kingdom coming on earth. And it's not coming unless God's people take hold of His promises as joint heirs now, adding our signature, yes and amen, to your promise. Lord, you have promised is the seed of Abraham. Our inheritance is the nations. And so we're joint heirs. Lord, we're not going to rest till our entire campus is bowing our knee to us. And that's not just showing up and talking. It's aggressively standing on your promises. I'm an heir of Christ. I'm a joint heir with Abraham's promises. The promises that my descendants will be as numerous as the sands on the seashore, as the stars in the heavens. And I'm taking them today, Jesus. I'm not just going out there on campus to talk to people. I am going to take my inheritance. And there are forces that stand against me, but in Jesus' name, I am more than a conqueror. And I'm aggressively battling demonic forces. You have no place here because my foot has stepped here. And every place the sole of my foot treads, God's given it to me. This is my campus, my dorm, my high school. In Jesus' name, I'm taking hold of your promises. So that's aggressive faith. Yeah? CJ.
Thank you for that, Pastor Paul. I was thinking about it and just realizing how tiring that pace can be. You know, if you live life like that, but that's the way to go. But my question is, while we were discussing, is that is it possible to like be aggressive on other aspects and maybe areas of God's promises, and then a little bit passive on others?
Like, give me an example.
Like, for example, maybe financially speaking, I feel like I'm a little bit more aggressive on that end, and maybe in terms of ministry, I'm a little bit more aggressive on that end. But when it comes to believing for some of my relatives to get saved, I don't even pray about that anymore. It's like, okay, God, let your will be done over their lives. And, you know, I'd be happy, Lord, if you save them. But as far as I'm concerned, I shared the gospel to them once. And then and then if you don't respond, maybe you have other messengers to send over so that they get saved. I mean, that was my response over the aggressive passive scale. There are other areas where I feel like, it's like, come on, Lord, bring it on, and let's do this together. It's like, but there are others like, okay, so, yeah,
well,
so be it.
That example you gave me, that's a big no.
Okay.
Yeah, so you shouldn't be passive there. So if you carry that over, we wouldn't pray for anybody.
Yeah.
Or we just pray one time, Lord, save the world.
Right.
Amen, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, glad I got that over with. All my praying's done now.
Yeah.
Now, Lord, if you don't, it's just your will now. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. So, no, I don't think so. Now, maybe you could come up with something, but not with that example.
Okay.
No, you should be just as aggressive. Yeah.
I think he's asking, is it possible for a person to be that way? Not is it right for them?
Oh, of course it's possible, yeah. Sure, there's all areas that we're all passive in. Yeah. No, and the Holy Spirit is just pointing them out one at a time and dealing with them. But I do want to comment on what you said. I don't want you to hear this as more work.
Right.
See, this is more rest.
Right.
But it's aggressive rest.
Right.
Even, but you got to get it. It comes by revelation. So even the writer of the Hebrews says, let us be diligent to enter his rest. Whoa, that sounds like a contradiction. Work hard to rest. So we know that the fight is the fight to believe.
Right.
That's the real fight. The fight is our mind doesn't want to believe, it just wants to work. It's easier to work than it is to believe. The fight is up here, can we just believe? And keep believing with all the pressures that come against us to not believe.
Yeah, I think I had a better grasp of that idea when I understood sonship even more.
Yeah.
You know, God being your father, and especially when I had kids.
Yeah.
They're not totally ashamed to ask for more, even if you've already given them so much more.
Yeah.
It's more of those things. They never apologize for asking for more. They kind of
hold
on to your, they kind of hold on to your promise, even if circumstances around you won't allow you to keep your promise. It's like, Oh, wow. Well,
this, they'll remind you of your promise.
Amazing, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Thanks again for reminding us.
Dara, one last thought before we go. Go tell us what do you got? How did you do?
It's on.
Just
talk. I was going to say that, I mean, personally, I find myself.
Apparently, it's not on. I'm sure it is. There's a light on.
Yeah. Personally, I find myself working, quote unquote, more when there's less faith.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the tendency when there's no faith. We work for it.
Just work harder.
And
we can make up for our lack of faith
and
more work.
And when Paul says we fight the fight of faith, it makes more sense now because even, for example, grace or God's promises, Paul doesn't tell us to fight for it because it's there.
Actually,
but we get it through faith.
Be strong in the grace that's in Christ. So there's an aggressiveness even towards grace.
But it makes sense why we fight for it, because every day that's what the devil will try to take away.
Yes.
And even like how much faith you have, for example, in salvation. Like sometimes, I mean, every day when thoughts or I mean, when you're struggling inside, it's easy to believe that, oh Lord, today I'm not as saved as yesterday. But but you need to fight for even that. I mean, your faith to believe
you're
that.
You're just saved today as you were yesterday.
So, but then that's because you have to fight for your faith in that.
You
so,
have to fight. Yeah.
And it's not just the material things or the I guess. That's
great. We'll see you guys at 1:00. We'll probably. Should I just keep going with this?
No. Yeah.
Oh, okay. 1:00.